Your speaker is Garland Robinson. Do you have room for the Lord in your life? Our text is taken from Luke chapter 2.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Verse 6, And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. It's the last phrase here in verse 7 that I want to call attention to in our lesson this morning. It is said and commonly known by most everyone that when Joseph and Mary had gone to Jerusalem, there was no room for them in the inn, and consequently they went to a stable. And while there it was that Jesus was born. But there was no room for them in the inn. I've often wondered, perhaps had the innkeeper known what was about to happen or take place, would he have found some room? I know it's the case sometimes today when inns or motels will say they are filled up and have no room, that, well, they sometimes do have rooms, but they're reserving those for maybe some special guests that may come at the last moment. I don't know if that's the case with this individual here that was keeping this inn, but nonetheless, he turned Joseph away. There was no room in the inn. I think there's a lesson to be learned in that for us, many lessons perhaps, and some of those we want to explore and to look at this morning. When we think about the world around us, we think about our own personal lives. We might consider, is there no room for Christ? Is it the case that in the world there's no room for the world to recognize the Lord Christ and to let Him have His way in their lives? In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19, the Bible says, "The whole world lieth in wickedness." That's not only new in our day, but that has been the case in every generation. I suppose in the reading that I've done and the people that I've talked to, that every generation thinks that theirs is the worst. They're thinking that times could not get any harder, could not get any more difficult. The waywardness of men and the sin and reproach of spiritual things is really dismal, and, oh, this is a terrible generation. Well, it was so in New Testament days. When we read that passage, that the whole world lieth in wickedness. Of course, that's a figure of speech. There were Christians during the days of the first century, even when the Apostle John, by inspiration, writing that very statement. He was not including himself nor the faithful members of the church, but in the general rule, the general overall picture of things, the whole world was in wickedness. Is it not so today? We can rightly say, as they could then, the whole world is filled with wickedness, except there are some good people, there are some brethren in the Lord. There are those who love the truth and are seeking to do Bible things and in Bible ways. But the world never has had room for Christ. We read in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, when the Lord in the Sermon on the Mount told His audience, and certainly for us today is appropriate, when He says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." On the other hand, He says, "Straight and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." the Lord spake about the comparison between the few in the world, the righteous people, those that love the truth, that want to do good, that desire to go to heaven, is a small minority of the vastness of the population of the world that seek to go the other way, and they're entering that broad and that wide way. In the Lord's Prayer, in John chapter 17, we read in verse 25, that Jesus said, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee. That was true then, and it's true now. The world does not know the God in heaven, the Father of us all. Then we also read in Romans 1 and verse 28. During that course of time when Paul was writing about events in his world and speaking of sin in general and the attitude and approach of people everywhere, that even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are unseemly. He says there are times when God will have no longer patience with people, no longer give them time, but that God gives up on them. I'd hate to be one whom God has given up on, wouldn't you? The Bible does tell us that God is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. Nonetheless, Romans 1 described there are some that God gives up on. I don't want to be in the world as one that has no room for the Lord. We need to make sure that we have room for the Lord. Is just an hour in worship a week, is that making room for the Lord? I know that affects some of you here because never see you except on Sunday mornings and at this worship hour. Is 1 hour a week, is that making room for the Lord? Is that sufficient in your case? Or perhaps 2 hours? Or if could we add 3 or 4 hours? Isn't it the case that all hours of the week, 168 of them, that we better be making room for the Lord in our lives? Could we look at the entire calendar of the week and of the years and of our life and say, well, now here's a section which the Lord is not needed. I'm not going to make accommodations for Him. I have no room for the Lord. And we'll allow Him to go by the way. Well, obviously, certainly, every one of us need to so live our lives that we're making room for the Lord every day we live. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, the Lord said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Has that been outdated? Has that been replaced by modern times? Are we so busy? Are we so wrapped up in things and events of the world that we don't have time for the Lord? The Lord said, make Him first in all things. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 30 we read, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, for that is the first commandment. Now, when he mentions those words, does it not mean that? Does it not count in our lives that we're to put Him first? He is our all in everything. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 and 25, we read, and let us consider one another to provoke one another unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. So when we consider the world and the events of it, is there no room for Christ to have a place in the world? Is there no room for our Lord in our day-to-day conversations? When we speak to one another in the home and in the family, when we speak in the workplace, when we speak at school, when we speak wherever we are on vacation, is there no room for the Lord in our everyday conversations? Does He ever enter into the conversation? But on the other hand, are there people, yes there are, who curse the Lord and God? take His name in vain, that tell dirty and filthy or vulgar jokes that are suggesting of wrong and evil things? Where is there the Lord during those times? Is there no room for the Lord? And we like the innkeeper there in Bethlehem that turned Joseph and Mary away. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 4 in verse 6, "Let your speech be always seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." Matthew 5 and verse 37. "But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." One of the things we learn about the Lord's telling us that we're not to swear at all is the fact that it is the way of truth and righteousness and holiness that a Christian's word is their bond. We ought to not so behave ourselves and live in such a way, or we ought to be not so fickle or unsure about our words that we speak, that there are occasions wherein we have to try to impress people, "This time I'm telling the truth." Or, "I know I say this and I tell this and you can't trust me, but now this time really am. I really am telling the truth this time." Well, that's why the Lord says, you don't live your life that way. You don't have your means of communication and your words that are so unsure and uncertain that a Christian would never have to try to convince someone, "Well, I'm telling the truth," because that's the way we live. We live the truth all the ways. And so He says, when you say yes, mean yes. And when you say no, mean no. Because if it's anything different than or other than that, then He said it comes of evil. Also, we find in Luke the 6th chapter in verse 45, where the Lord said, "A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth evil things. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." So are we going to have room for the Lord in our speech? Or are we going to say dirty words? Or are we going to talk in vulgar terms, unholy terms? Here the Bible just simply tells us that we need to so speak that it would be good to the use of edifying. In Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." James 1:26, "Is any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue? This man's religion is vain." You might have some good vocal cords according to man's ears that really can hit the notes, the highs and the lows and all in between. You might sing like a mockingbird. You might come to worship and just everything is pleasant. But go out through the week and your speech is not that way. You don't use those same vocal cords for righteousness and holiness through the week that you do on Sunday. Well, that's hypocritical. And that's not right. That's not right in any respect, whomever it may be. So the Bible says we better be making room for the Lord in our conversations and in our speech. And also in the realm of seeking to teach others goodness and holiness. It may be that we don't have foul speech, we don't curse, and we don't do those kind of things. But yet when we have opportunity, we still never speak to anyone about the church and the Bible and going to heaven when we die. We never invite them to service and try to enter into spiritual conversations to direct them in the way they should go. Do we have any room for the Lord in our conversations from day to day? The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to those that ask of us out of meekness and fear." We need to be ready to speak in regards to spiritual things. And when the subject comes up, we've got something to say because we know what the Bible says. And we're willing to use that as a means of promoting the cause of Christ. Or are we like the innkeeper that we have no room for the Lord in our daily conversations and using that to the glory of God and promoting the things of our Lord Jesus Christ. Another area. Sometimes we often find it's the case that brethren especially have no room for the Lord when it comes to politics. Oh, people, oh, you need to keep politics out of the church. There needs to be the separation of church and state. Well, certainly the principle of that is so. That is true. The church is not a political entity, and we ought not to involve ourselves in political issues. But that is altogether a different matter when it comes to moral issues, when it comes to Bible things. And people say, I don't have any room for the Lord when it comes to politics because I'm going to simply ignore the Bible, I'm going to ignore the church, I'm going to ignore things holy and moral and spiritual, and I'm going to go headlong altogether in the opposite direction. What can we say then? Are you like the innkeeper that turned Joseph and Mary away? I have no room in my heart for the Bible and spiritual and holy things when it comes to politics. Well, we read in Romans, the 13th chapter, the Bible authorizes, God authorizes governments and powers, political entities, because they are necessary. They are there in place because God ordained them to be. Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou wilt do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon them that do evil. That doesn't mean that every government, every nation in the world is a holy or righteous government. But the principle of government is ordained of God, appointed of God. And he said, it is there for the protection of those who live good and right lives in that society. And the purpose of government is to cast down wickedness and evil, and those who would do wrong in society, it's for the protection of the good. That doesn't mean that it's perfect in its execution every step of the way. It doesn't mean that every government does not go out and even persecute righteous people and good things. But the overall principle of it is, God said they're there for the protection of the righteous. And so it's ordained of God. But politics, of course, right now especially, is on the minds of a lot of people. People have their favorite party, and they don't care about the Bible, if it's right or if it's wrong, because they don't have any room for the Lord when it comes. Now, I don't care about parties myself. Makes no difference. If you want to bring up something about jobs in this country, that's got no place in this pulpit. The jobs doesn't affect anything. The Bible doesn't address that particular part. It's not anything moral or unholy or ungodly. You want to talk about political issues? Then I agree. It doesn't have anything to do with the church or the Bible, because I might have an opinion about it. You might have an opinion about it. There's nothing. It's necessarily one right and the other wrong, or the other wrong, the other right. It doesn't make any difference. But when you come to down to moral issues, you come down to spiritual things, you come down to affecting the way that we operate in the world and that which opposes God and righteousness and holiness, that's not politics. Now, people try to cloud the issue and they try to sweep the truth under the rug when those times come up. But we're talking about things that affect holiness and righteousness here. We're talking about things where God has legislated. But often it's the case that people just don't have any room for the Lord. Just like that innkeeper, they don't have any room for Joseph and Mary. They don't have any room for people. And they end up looking to vote for someone, never considers whether it's right or wrong. There must be room for the Lord in our lives in every respect, and certainly in the political arena, when the Bible addresses and looks at areas that have to do with holiness and righteousness, wherein God has legislated, then we better have some room in our hearts, in our lives, and certainly in our political opinions and things like that. Another area a lot of times people have no room for the Lord is in business. In business dealings, in business transactions, and conducting affairs in that regard. They have no room for the Lord. You know, let's just keep the Lord at church, and we'll talk about Him at church and whatever, but in the business world, oh, now that's a different thing altogether. We'll keep that separate. But people often consider their spiritual life, their church life, separate and apart from their business life altogether. And so they've allowed the devil just to kind of creep in and push aside every sense of right and wrong and moral things. People all dress up, as we all are today, and we come to church and involve ourselves in spiritual activities. But in the world, we throw aside all of the good things that we know about in the righteousness of the Bible and care not about it at all. We're like those the Lord talked about in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8. When He said, "This people draweth nigh to me with their heart, honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." These other words, He's talking about those who are hypocrites. On the one hand, they propose to be something good, but on the other hand, they're not that way at all. And there are sometimes people in the business world, they don't mind cheating. They don't mind lying. They don't mind, you know, taking bribes wherever it may be in order that they might get ahead or get some kind of deal going or whatever. But the Bible tells us, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, "Therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye also unto them." If we work out as business people some kind of deal or a kickback that would not be in accordance with the Lord's will, we work out a deal and take advantage of somebody, and would we want them to do the same thing to us? Would we like it if the tables were turned and they took advantage of us? Well, no, we wouldn't like that. So why would we act that way toward other people? So make sure that whatever business dealings, I'm not talking about just those that might be in a company or a business like that, but all of us are business people in one sense of the word, because we conduct affairs, business affairs, all the way. So in our business dealings, all of us, it was certainly involved. Let's be honest, let's be fair, let's treat other people as we would desire and love to be treated. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 21, to provide things honest in the sight of all men. Notice that. In the sight of all men. But He also says, in the sight of the Lord. When we provide things honest in the sight of men, it's going to be so in the sight of the Lord. And we provide things honest in the sight of the Lord, it's going to be in the sight of men. So when we do our business, whatever it is, just be honest and fair about it. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, He says, "But let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse 11 and 12 we read, "And that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing." So everything the Bible teaches us is to be honest with people and to be open and fair, and that's the way God is with us, the way we are to be with Him, and the way we ought to be with one another. And people that are even the heathens in the world or whatever. But so often is the case when it comes to business, people have no room for the Lord. They want to leave Him out altogether and would put Him out in the cold. You know, it's often that way in the home too, isn't it? In the home. A lot of times people have no use for the Lord, have no room for the Lord in their home. If the Lord came, now obviously He's not going to in person, but if the Lord came to your house and knocked on your door, Would you let him in? Would you offer him some rest for his weary feet or for a drink of water or something to eat? Would you have room for him to spend the night? I dare say all of us, if we knew it was the Lord, we'd do that, wouldn't we? Well, we wouldn't hesitate to invite the Lord in and to give him a hand and give him a place to rest for the night. But the Lord does that many times through the instruments of other people. And we can do that in our own homes with husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, sons and daughters. We can do that in every affair. It's not often, obviously, that people require that of us, some stranger somewhere. But what about in our home in the sense of activities? Has there ever been a time in society that there are more activities going on? School activities, sports, and running here and there and doing all kinds of things. Do we take care of all of those and leave the Lord out? Do we give Him any room in the midst of all the activities and all the things going on? We need to make sure that we are giving Him room. We read in Proverbs 22 in verse 6 where the Bible says, "Train up a child in the way he should go." That's a principle that has always been so. And if we train up that child physically in regards to exercise and sports, we train them up academically in their studies and we point them in the direction to make good grades, do we not find any time to make their spiritual instruction is as it should be? That they're keeping that in order, that in the midst of all of our activities, there's room for the Lord in Bible study? In Ephesians chapter 6, we read in beginning in verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be right with thee, that thy days may be long upon the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." In Genesis chapter 18, we read in verse 19 about Abraham, something said by God. Said, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." We need to make sure that in our home, in our family setting and situation, we have room for the Lord. Then we need to speak about those that are still in school. Whether grammar school, high school, college, or others, we need to have room for the Lord at school, don't we? Can we just leave the Lord at home and say, "We're not going to take him to school. I'm not going to speak a good word. I'm not going to get a word in edgewise. I'm not going to stand up for the truth." We need to make sure, even in school, that we have room for the Lord. You know, there's plenty of room in school for evolution. There's room for agnosticism. There's room for no God in the schools often, but what about our own personal lives? Can't we bring that into it as we have means and opportunity? Psalm 14, verse 1 says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." We read about Timothy, that it was said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 9 and 10, that women likewise ought to attire or dress themselves in modest apparel. Do we go to school with hardly much on or revealing or attire, immodestly dressed? Is there no room for the Lord in how we dress that way? In our speech again, Ephesians 4:29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." All of these areas, whenever we go to school, make sure there's room for the Lord, that we keep Him with us. And then the last thing I'll mention is we need to make room for the Lord in the church. You'd think of all places that ought to go without saying. You would think why any kind of church anywhere would have room for the Lord even in church. But sadly, a lot of places don't. Oh, they're involving themselves in religious activity, but they have no room for the Lord because they're serving the Lord the way they want to. What feels good to them and what they like. And that's why you'll find a lot of services that will engage in all kinds of activities for which they cannot find any thus saith the Lord for. And what it is, they don't have room for the Lord because I like piano. I like organ. I like instruments of music, people say. And I don't care what to buy. I don't have room for the Lord because I like this and I'm going to have that. And whatever they like is what they end up having. And what you find is all kinds of ritualism. You find traditionalism. You find superstition. You find all kinds of activities in religious contexts and groups today. And it's because they don't have room for the Lord. We've got to make sure that we have room for the Lord even in our worship services, in our gatherings together, and the things in which we involve ourselves must be by a thus saith the Lord. That we can turn to the Bible and say, here's why we do what we do. When Paul met with the brethren of the church at Ephesus, the elders there, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 26 and 27, he said, I'm pure from the blood of all men, for I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. See, Paul made sure he had room for the Lord wherever he went. And he made sure the brethren that he was speaking with and people that he taught that he had room for the Lord because he would speak about Him and tell them what they needed to hear. But sadly, too many do not. They're like the hypocrites that Isaiah prophesied about in Matthew 15 and verse 7. Again, that this people draweth nigh to me with their mouth, honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. There you find a people that don't have room for the Lord. No room in their worship, no room in their spiritual conduct in life, because they're going to have what they want. Well, there are all kinds of other areas. The point, of course, the Bible would be in every respect, in every fragment of our life. Are we going to make room for the Lord? Or there's some areas, some things that we just ignore the Lord, push Him aside, don't care about Him. There's no room. Don't have any room. And we go ahead and live the way we want to. We've got to make sure that there's room for the Lord in our lives, in every aspect of our lives. And don't just segment some things and say, well, here He don't belong and here He don't belong. The Lord belongs in every aspect of our life. We can't ever forget Him. We've got to always be governed by His way and by His law. And we would so live our lives in accordance with it. And that's in every respect, in every area of our lives. Because I don't want to be like that innkeeper that said, I don't have room. No room. We better be making room for the Lord in our hearts and in our lives every day. Do you have room in obeying the gospel? There are yet some who've never obeyed the gospel of Christ. Today you can do so. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, willing to repent of your sins, confess faith in Christ, you can be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Don't push the Lord out, but make room for Him. Welcome Him that He might live in your life through His holy, inspired Word. Or you can come back to faithfulness. You strayed away and you brought sin reproach upon the church that you might be forgiven if you'll repent of that and confess that and ask God's forgiveness that you might be restored to faithfulness. Make room for the Lord in your life in every way.
This has been Garland Robinson. Join us again.